Hello.
Hello, sir.
Do you see me on video?
If I say no, will you leave it alone?
No. No, I just want to show with headphones.
I know. You look much sexier.
Oh. See ya.
Hello, world. Here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
This is Justin.
This is Bruce.
And this is Mike.
And this is The Break-In!
Bang!
Episode 32.
Yes. I will not argue that with you this time.
I'm glad. That took like another 10 minutes last time we talked about it.
So this isn't 31.3 or something like that?
For you, it's episode 4.
Okay. It's like 7.
I want to go back and count now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's 7.
I recently went back and listened to every single one of them again.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. My kids say personal jinx. I hate that. Okay, so anyhow, this is another special episode.
Yeah.
I was telling
Santa Claus is coming, right?
I was telling Steph how this is our first
obligation episode.
First comic book artist interview, and I wait, Pritchard on. So.
I don't. Does it count?
Because she said, "Do you do the comic book?" I said, "Yeah, it was comic book."
He did.
So, yeah, Subterfuge.
I haven't read the second one.
And he owns the break-ins now, so.
He does own the break-ins.
So, yeah, this episode, we have Mr. Scott D.M. Simmons.
Yes. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing all right. Not as good as you.
You're doing well, man.
Are you ready, sir? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Hi, Justin.
Hey. I control this ship.
Are we in the same time zone as Scott?
That's
how I wanted you to come up and say where he is.
Oh.
Scott, if it's 5 o'clock here, what time is it in Cincinnati right now?
5:01.
5:01.
Oh, wow.
So if we're watching a baseball game and it's the 4th inning now, what inning are you in?
The 7th.
Sweet. You need to call us with scores.
Yeah, so we're going to throw some money down.
I used to tell my friend who lived in Washington that I was feature guy. I could tell her all the programs and how they ended up at night. Because I was like hours and hours ahead of her.
You could also do that if you had a satellite dish.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got East Coast and I'm on the West Coast. What up?
Okay, so the first segment is all about this process.
Yeah.
Now, Scott, you do not have the questions that we have. We've changed them all.
Oh, seriously?
No, that's okay.
I'm kidding. No, I gave him the questions based on who asked what, and then I went to you guys and I actually made an order.
That's
tricky on Scott's end. He's like preparing for each question. He's like, oh, God, she mixed up numbers. This is like going back to high school where they mix up the questions. I know, look, you know what? She's like, this is all the questions we're going to ask you. But then she switches 1 and 7 around. You go, my day. Boom! Blown up now.
You really should have explained that before you said she.
I know. I realized that I had a high school flash. Real quick, I'm really sorry.
You have problems?
Yes, but we gotta talk about this episode who's brought to you by.
Let's
give our little commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Mike?
This episode is brought to you by the delicious chips of Grippers barbecue flavored potato chips.
And Java Monster mean bean flavor.
And, Hall's all-natural soothing action cough drops.
Are you eating or drinking anything, Scott?
Glass of vitamin water. Mozzarella sticks. Do what?
Who's the
Savant? Glasso, whatever. It's okay. Spark, vitamin water.
Nice.
Yeah. Refresh. York peppermint patty.
There you go.
Wow.
Vitamins.
And a cheese string.
All right, we're going to get all kinds of free stuff.
What type of cheese?
It's Kroger brand mozzarella.
Yeah, I prefer
mozzarella.
Mozzarella,
a little moisture.
I like the Yoder string cheese.
Odor?
Yoder.
I like Limburger.
Why does it smell so bad? I don't know. What is that smell? It's either bad meat or good cheese. I don't know.
Let's tell people who Scott is.
Oh, well.
I describe Scott as the happiest person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And that's where I stop.
Yeah.
Well, we ate once, we ate out the dinner once, and Scott is the anti-French fry guy, so that's what I know him as. I don't know too much about him other than that. So what do you know about it, Dustin?
He's just the guy that guilts me into giving him pictures for free.
Yeah.
No.
I have funny ways to remember.
No, Scott's a great guy. I know Scott for many years, or known of him, and then got to know him better over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But were you a cannibal with him like Scott and I are? Yeah, they're very
Anything with French fries.
Right.
Anything. Justin, I don't know. Justin, provided some words of encouragement and support, when I really needed it. That was early on, when I barely knew you, Justin, and you came up and in Facebook and, was really nice to me. So I appreciate that.
Anytime, man.
Justin's a good guy.
Yeah.
Depending on the day.
On Facebook. In person. Like a Viking.
Just make sure he's never your supervisor, Scott. It gets interesting, okay?
Or make on before him, or he will take your table.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the boards? Where are the nails? What's happening to me right now? All right.
Are we crucifying you? Is that where we're going with this?
No, I just wanted to make something.
I thought
was that what that was?
Sort of obscure Tyler Perry reference. I wasn't
Tyler Perry?
You're dressed like a woman.
How's it, Justin?
This podcast. Are we not supposed to talk about that? Oh. You're dressed like an old black woman. I know.
Hey, where's this ship going, Captain? You're steering us into an iceberg, okay?
Well, Scott.
All his notes are addressed to Scott, so no matter what me and Mike say.
What exactly made you want to become a comic artist?
Yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks here.
Well, I'm an only child, and I guess when I was growing up, I really got into comics and cartoons on television. Plus, my mom's an artist, so it kind of runs in the family, if you would.
Is there one book that, boom?
Or cartoon,
yeah, that really just made it click? For me, it was book number one that made me want to be a comic book artist.
Wow. Where do you go from there, Scott?
You're much younger than me. Super Friends, the old Challenge of the Super Friends, probably was the cartoon that really inspired me to do it.
Was that with Wendy and Marvin?
No, that's the one with the Legion of Doom.
Okay. Oh.
They were almost small movies or whatever. It was almost an hour long. They were great.
Yeah, I think this show was about a half hour.
Okay, yeah.
I want the hour and a half version.
Well, I got the director's cuts, buddy, all right? Come on, you don't know about that.
Now, Scott, growing up in Cincinnati, the Hall of Justice is what? Just
did
walking
you grow
distance?
Up in Justice? Cincinnati? We don't know.
Oh, did you grow up in Cincinnati, Scott?
No.
Way to go, Bruce. Drop the ball.
Wait, the Hall of Justice is right there.
Do
in
your
Cincinnati.
Research, Bruce.
When did you grow up, Scott? Was born? Was that the bio he faxed us? I didn't read that.
I'm finding out right now.
Yeah. Well, when did you make your way to Cincinnati, Scott?
Well, I was born in Florida, actually, if we backtrack a little bit.
Wow.
Then I moved, near Orlando. Okay. So, actually, I was born the year before Disney World opened. And I was there as a baby.
They did that for you then, huh?
They did.
Sorry, from Kissimmee or Buena Vista?
Winter Park.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I lived in Orlando, man.
Resident Disney expert.
Yeah.
Bringing it local.
Yeah. So I lived there the first 9 years of my life, and then my mom remarried, and we moved up to the Cincinnati area for 3 months, and then we moved out to Athens for 2 years. Athens, Ohio, where Ohio University is.
That's party school. Yep.
Yeah. And then we came back to Cincinnati, and from age 11 to I guess in a technical sense, I did grow up as a teenager in the Cincinnati area. But
you weren't half as impressed with the train station then, though, were you?
That actually is my favorite building in Cincinnati. No kidding. And I've actually taken trains out of there on Amtrak. I love that place.
It's gorgeous from all angles.
Yeah. Luckily, with my current job where I work with my daytime job, working with mentally challenged people, physically challenged people. I actually have a pass to go there quite a bit, and I've probably been there about 20 times since last year.
Well, we're coming to visit you then, because we all want to go, so.
It's a really cool building.
my uncle, I have an uncle who's deaf, and when he was growing up, there was a school in there. So
Oh, wow.
I've gone back with him when he's gone to... you can't say he's gone to speak to the kids. Because... But when he's gone back to visit the classes,
sorry,
I've gone with him. It's very impressive going.
So,
it's a true story. I'm sorry.
It's the most awkward story ever.
I'm get Bruce out of this hole he dug himself into. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay. He's distancing himself just now.
No, God, am I going to have to edit that out? Was that some sort of
thing? It's not as bad as last time. We're not talking about last time.
Last time was sweet.
Oh, brother. All right. We'll tell you about it off air,
Scott. I make bad decisions, Scott.
Yes. So, I mean, what kind of, you said Super Friends, obviously, yes. But artistically, what influences do you
have? Yeah, I'm curious about this, because I think you and Justin have a lot of similarities, artistically.
And, I mean, is it just comic book artist, or are you influenced by music
martial
that you
artist?
Listen to? No, music that you listen to, maybe. That influences as you work.
Yeah.
Or is it just comic book artist that you've grown up with, or whatnot?
Wow, there's different kinds of artists that have like inspired me in different ways. I mean, not necessarily in influencing my style, but like ones that, you know, have been inspirational as far as like either their backstories or just how they do it. You know, just I don't know, just kind of inspirational. I was really thinking about like when you sent me the questions about comic book artists, but I never really thought about like the other artists that have inspired me, like Disney himself. I'm a big fan of Mucha. I believe that's how you say his name. I used to call it Mucha. Alphonse Mucha.
Yeah.
And Gustav Klimt.
Ah, okay, yes.
You're talking like really, actual, like,
real
artists. Yeah, I
got you. Not real artists. I'm a real artist. Non-comic book artist.
You guys have this fictional art thing you think you call it. You're no, you're not doing like Da Vinci stuff or anything, you know. So.
I know Charles Schultz.
Yeah.
This is the first edit, right?
I've had someone tell me that before. They're like, well, I do real art, not your little cartoon.
No, but fine art. Because I did take fine art for college. Fine art drawing, and I mean, I think that's where I got a lot of, hopefully, how I'm drawing the human body and everything. I'm drawing it pretty right.
Where exactly did you end up going to school, Scott?
University of Cincinnati.
Oh, nice. You're a cat.
Yeah. But anyways, going back to the comic book artists that influenced me, mostly the clean style artists. I mean, I do have a clean style myself, I believe. So not really like the image artists that like have all the lines and everything.
Yeah.
But maybe like John Byrne was. I mean, I still actually have some of his artwork up on my wall.
I think Justin's totally there with you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I have Captain America and Red Skull like. Page here, like with the Joker and Red Skull on it.
Oh, that's
a next, yeah, a Next Men page with Jasmine on it.
I have no artwork.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bruce is all lined up.
Yeah, we're surrounded by my multiple Chris Pacello pages and Eric Canetti and Adam Pelea. I got some Strowmans and pretty much anyone who's either retired or just quit comics. It's because I bought their work.
Not Pacello. Pacello's still making a living.
Like semi-annually, he draws a comic,
but he gets paid probably pretty well for it.
Yeah, he does.
But who else besides Byrne, or is he pretty much your big influence?
No, he's just one of them. You know, he is definitely a big one. I was exposed to his work like when I was a kid. That's part of the other questions you sent me. But sorry. Chris Sprouse. It's a definite influence. I've loved his stuff since the early 90s, and yeah, been lucky to be becoming friends with him, I believe. He and Zan are like really, really awesome people.
Zan is pretty cool.
We've all met the Sprouses, and Justin has a pretty good personal relationship with them, and I've met them, and they've never been anything but welcoming to me. I mean,
very
cool. Great people.
Chris Sprouse, I've said before, I'll say it again, he intimidates the shit out of me.
The guy has an Eisner's. Yeah, it's pretty intimidating.
Well, he's so quiet but talented. It's like,
right.
I don't want to ask him questions because I'm afraid the answers will be over my head. Does that make sense?
Like, you're going to be like, what do you think of this line? Well, and then he breaks down the theory of the universe to you or something? Or
well,
what?
No, what was the Number of the Beast series he did when Wildstorm Universe was
relaunching?
Yeah,
when they did the digital.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, you know, I thought he did the digital boxes digitally. He's like, no, I hand drew those. And I had nothing to say. I'm like, holy shit. Why would you do that? Why would you draw thousands of squares when a computer can do it for you?
But Chris, like that's another one of those clean styles like you were talking about though, Scott.
Yeah. Oh, you like Stuart Immonen or Immonen or?
I did like his stuff on Superman, but yeah, I wouldn't list him as one of my influences, but I do like his stuff. Two of the other big influences on me were Mike Baringo.
Yeah. Great artist. Loved his Fantastic Four.
I was really sad when he died. He was like one person that I met, like, you know, very briefly, but he was always someone that I wanted to work with.
It was very sudden, too, wasn't it? A heart attack or something along those lines?
Yeah, and he's like, he was really young, in his early 40s.
He was in incredibly good shape, too. Like, he could kick all of our asses.
Probably so good.
Yeah. Who else? So, yeah, I love this stuff. And then, actually, from Cincinnati, back in the 90s when everyone was talking to me and saying, you're going to have to move to California or New York to, like, do comics. You can't do them out here. There was a studio, I think it was Imagine This Productions, I think was the name, and they were putting out a book called Superior 7. Mm-hmm. And that was the artwork was by Dion Knuckles. Now, his artwork's changed since then, but I love his stuff, and I actually became friends with him because I ended up working with him at Hasbro.
Nice.
I have two of his Spider-Mans on my wall.
Now, is his last name spelled the way it sounds?
Nuckols.
Oh, okay.
Dion Knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those would be, like, four of my major influences. John Byrne, Chris Sprouse, Dion Knuckles, and Mike Baringo.
It's good ones to go off of.
Yeah.
What kind of, what are your tools that you use when you draw on? You use, like, Photoshop? Or, I mean, are you doing your comic? Or is it just pencils or pens or?
Yeah, since you have a fine art background, you want to do things traditionally?
I do want to do things traditionally. I found myself using mechanical pencils the past few years because I hate sharpening.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. So I use mechanical pencils, and then I've been using Pigma ink markers or ink pens.
Okay, those are like the Micron Pigmas?
Yes, Micron Pigma.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Pigma comes first or if Micron comes first. I don't know.
I can't remember. They're downstairs. And I draw on Bristol board, the Strathmore Bristol.
Okay.
It's my favorite, either smooth surface or vellum. Smooth is the one I like. I'll color in Photoshop.
Okay.
But if I'm doing sketch cards or something, like at a convention, I'll use Prismacolor markers.
Now, what size do you draw at? Do you draw two size?
A little bit more.
Okay.
A little bit more than that. 9x12, typically.
Oh, really? Okay, so like a nice medium between like standard comic book size and actual size.
Yeah, one of the reasons for that is, I mean, the scanner. You know, my scanner only like does almost a 9x12.
Okay.
Plus, it's easy to tote around with me, and I don't have to carry the big binder.
Yep.
So I can
yep.
take it to work or, well, not my current job, but like my old jobs.
Yeah,
and be able to do it during breaks or something like that.
So. Oh, okay. So does your current job allow for any downtime like that?
No. I'm pretty much on the go.
Okay.
Which is fine.
You know,
it's a fun job, and I really make a difference, I think. I hope I do.
I'm sure you make more of a difference in what you do than any of the three of us here.
Yeah, exactly.
Two together. We're horrible people. I don't know
what to say about it. Scott's just a bad step above us, is what it comes down to.
No.
Two steps, yeah.
I'm just getting angrier, Scott.
Oh.
Happy all the time, saving the world. What the hell am I doing?
So when you approach a page, is there you have a certain approach to your storytelling that that you have, or is it just kind of whatever comes out of your mind at the time?
Well, do you mean like when I'm writing it or when someone else is writing?
When you're getting ready to draw a page. I don't care, whatever. Jump in here, you guys.
Well, for instance, if someone else is writing it, I mean, typically, most of the time, they don't, like, actually frame it for me because, you know, maybe they do, like, when they first start working with me, and then after a while they realize that they don't have to necessarily give me every detail.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, do it, like, this kind of angle, unless they really want, like, bird's eye view or something like that. But I try and think of, like, maybe because I used to do acting in high school.
Yeah.
And I did video in college, that I try to think of it things as a movie or how to set up things on a stage.
Storytelling.
How to see, yeah, see like which angle would be the best to be able to show.
So like block. Then,
right, exactly. It's a good term. And for instance, if you look at some of my Our Supermom pages, there's a scene that takes place in a guidance counselor office for two pages.
Yeah.
And that could have been a really boring two pages, but I just tried every angle that I could think of and, you know, the best angle for each, like, individual panel. And it comes off as a really fun two pages, I think.
Now, for sets and things like that, for consistency's sake and perspective, do you do all that from imagination or do you use any 3D tools?
Oh, you mean like when I'm like drawing a house or something like that?
Yeah, or like the inside of the guidance counselor's office, like to keep the desk and everything.
No, I just my imagination, I guess.
Wow.
And then whatever I set up in the prior panels, then I have to like follow the rules and make sure that it looks the same. Like if you're like turning around and you're going from a different angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the kitchen in another scene, and you keep coming back to that kitchen.
Right. I started maybe a year ago, maybe a little more than a year. I started just building up simple 3D models in that Google SketchUp program. That way, whenever I establish this is the look of something, I could just go back to that and do like a camera rotate and do like a rough pencil in Photoshop over top of it and print it out to ink. I found that it really saves me time. Like I just, like in my last comic, Clobber Vance, I built a trailer park. So that I would know how many trailers were there, how they were spaced apart. That way I could just, you know, rotate the camera there. And it saved me a lot of time. I mean, I don't want to tell you, hey, you should do this, but...
This sounds like a really good process.
It's completely free, too.
It's pretty cool. I noticed something I found myself liking the last, maybe a decade. There was a time that I took my workout to San Diego to have, like... looked at by various companies.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though, you know, I was rejected time and again, I did take the advice of, like, three different reviewers to heart, you know, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, like, based on what they said. And I've only gotten better just by listening to it.
What were advice. Those three things?
One of them was fairly obvious. I mean, I used to have a comic strip when I was a kid, so I was used to, like, doing the balloons and leaving space for the balloons.
Yeah.
And with comic books, you don't want to leave space for the balloons. You want to have the artwork all be there, and then they can move the balloons around or take the balloons off, and then there would still be artwork underneath.
Right, but you still need to leave like headroom and stuff like that for the balloons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another person had mentioned something about hair and, like, how to... basically make the hair look, I don't know, a little more, not necessarily uniform, but have the lines kind of mean something. But the one that I like remember the most was buildings. And I guess people like sometimes go back to that kind of block building. You know what I'm talking about? The boxes with like little windows.
Right, where everything's a grid.
Yeah. And what I try to do is bring in interesting buildings when I can. And try to have a variety of buildings. There was a massive, it was supposed to be a poster that I did, and it's never never surfaced for one reason or another. I killed myself on, like, making different buildings. But when I lived out in Boston, I guess going back to where that began, when I lived out in Boston, I started taking pictures of different buildings. And I do that every now and then, just taking my camera out and about into the city and taking pictures of different buildings to get, like, ideas of different textures, different styles of buildings.
Yeah, different architectural features.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll refer to them to make my own buildings, unless they're set in that city.
Have you ever used, like, the Street View on Google Maps for that?
Sort of. I didn't use it, like... in a direct sense. Yeah. But like for our supermom, like the first page actually takes place on a highway. And so I like got an idea what that highway looked like, how like the street lamps looked,
yeah,
and how the overpasses looked. So in a way, yes, even though it wasn't directly.
Right, right. Well, I'm not saying you just, you know, you copy right over top.
Oh, of no, no. But I wanted to like, you know, see what that road actually looked like, so it would actually feel like, yes, this took place in Columbus.
The current artist of Mark Waid's Daredevil run. What is his?
Paco something.
Rivera, Pablo Rivera?
Pablo Rivera, yeah.
On his blog, he talks about how when he discovered Google Maps and the Street View, and he was working on a Captain America and Bucky miniseries, and it was supposed to take place in Europe during the war and all this, and he had no idea what the buildings looked like. He said he submitted a couple of pages, and they kept getting rejected. They're like, it looks wrong. It doesn't look time period correct. So he used the Street View to go in and look at these old neighborhoods. And his side-by-side comparisons, it was beautiful, and it made me think. It was like, holy crap, Google did all this work for us. They went out there
right. And
photographed the world. Pretty impressive. Here I am, like an idiot.
That's a great idea.
You know, doing a Google search for building. You know? When it's like, actually go to the neighborhoods I want to draw and draw like those neighborhoods. I think we're coming up on our first break period.
That's
here.
Correct. And we'll be right back for segment two.
See, you always enough to observe when we always say, "Not for those at all." But you're asked, well, Creative Commoners is the most forward-thinking podcast around. Listen to hosts Chris Armstrong, Corey Bishop, and Allison Dixon as they discuss ideas that are anything but common. CreativeCommoners.net.
All right, here we are for segment two, the ponderings part of this podcast.
Ooh, alliteration.
Ended up with a lot of pieces.
Yeah, very, very Stan Lee-like.
You know, I love it.
Ooh, it's Scott Simmons. That's a Stan Lee character.
Yeah.
Or maybe it'd be Simon Simmons.
Simon Simmons. Ooh. Yeah, it would be more like that.
Evil Simon Simmons.
Going after Pepper Potts with Bing Bang Boom.
don't forget Paste Pot Pete. He's involved. It's Paste Pot Pete's dentist, Simon Simmons.
This is just the ponderings part, where we just basic chit-chat.
We ponder
the
But it's
not as crazy as the next segment we'll get.
Right.
Okay. Right. If you were not doing the comics thing, what would you do? Is your day job what you would do, or is there something else that you would do if you're not doing
Or, like, would you pick up a slightly different hobby or something like that?
Well, you know, I guess it would be like, you know, if art stopped right now, or would it be like if I had never done art ever?
Ooh, I don't know. Why don't you answer both of those questions?
Yeah. Well, if art stopped now, then yeah, I guess I would be doing my day job and maybe photography.
Okay. Okay.
But if I had never been an artist, I think I'd be a writer, actor, a writer and actor probably. And maybe run at a comic book convention. So I think I, you know.
And that guy reaches for the sky and he just grabs it though, doesn't he?
That'd be a vision of the United States.
I would maybe.
I'd be the first person on Mars.
I'd be God. That's my thing.
Is that capital G or lowercase G?
Capital G O D.
Ooh,
yeah, that's
three caps.
Supreme.
I don't even. I don't think they do that in the Bible.
Nope.
That's how
it would be written in red.
That's how I do Hulk. Whenever I write Hulk, have you guys ever noticed? I write capital.
No, because you commented on Facebook. You didn't write Hulk. You wrote Hilk.
What?
When? When we talked about the Hulk for some reason.
That's right. Yeah, I was probably tired.
Hilk. The Hilk. The Incredible Hilk.
Hey, I'd be the Incredible Hilk.
Yeah, you'd be making me hungry.
I'd be very green if you do.
So, acting or writing or you know, running San Diego Comic Con is what you'd be doing, right, Scott?
Maybe the Simmons Comic Con.
Yeah, it's Simmons Con. Yeah. It's about comics, but he kind of runs it all. So,
yeah.
You would be Stan Lee, is what you're trying to say, right?
I don't know.
Well, does this want to branch us off into talk about Cincinnati a little? Because you're pretty involved in that, right?
Yeah. So, you're like the puppet master, right?
No. Yeah, I'm just a member of the team. It's been a great experience so far. It's really cool. I helped out last year, and I'm helping out more this year. It's coming out in September.
September
22nd and 23rd, 2 days.
Exciting.
Still at the yeah. place?
Yeah, the Duke Energy Center.
It's a floor lower?
No, well, yeah, it will be in Hall C, which is one of the two medium-sized halls, not Hall A, where they have the car show, but it is in one of those big halls.
So you don't have to go up in the escalator?
No.
Kill yourself when you go down?
No. Yeah, I tried to take my son up that. That was not the good idea to do, so.
is this where they had that cool pharmaceutical?
Yeah.
No, I asked Andrew that last time I talked to him. He said it was not that that area.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, this is going to be great. We're announcing, we announce artists two or three times a week, and we're getting ready to announce more of our big name artists. We just named Mike Warrior, who used to ink Jack Kirby.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Now, are you doing like a poster for it? Or are you allowed to say that? Or, I mean, you can say no.
No.
Is he allowed to say no? Can you deny something for me? What's your big selling feature at cons on average? I mean, are you more of a, you sell sketches? Are you selling prints? Are you selling books? What's the big item to get from Scott D.M. Simmons?
It does depend on the convention. I've had conventions where my prints sell pretty well. I've had conventions where my books sell better. And surprisingly enough, Gem City used to be like a sketch card show and print show for me. Now it's turned into the original art show for me. People bought a lot of our original art and had me draw more, like 9x12s. So I actually did pretty well.
Nice.
Now, you were up at Pack Rat for Free Comic Book Day. What was that? What kind of show was that for you?
Oh, Pack Rat always puts on a good show. It was the third year I was there. Jamie and Teresa are good people, and it's always a big party. I wish I could have stayed longer.
Yeah, and Ernie Hudson, he got sick, or he had a surgery or something, I think. So he could...
Yeah, he had surgery, and then I think the... Yeah.
I heard that Larry Hammer got in a knockdown, drag-out fight, and that's why they both had to cancel their appearances around that time.
Billy West was there last year, though, right?
Yes, Billy West.
And did you give him a high five?
Do what?
Did you get to meet the celebrities, or are they like cornered?
Well, he is one of the celebrities, so clearly they're all in the same dressing room.
No, they have the TV and movie personalities up in the entrance of the store. Uh-huh. And so when you walk in, you really can't avoid seeing them. They're right there. And but no, I haven't gone up to them. I mean, they usually have like, you know, pretty decent sized lines and everything, and they're always busy.
I know they like walked around before the show began and talked to the people. You know.
Yeah, well, yeah, they walk around during. But you know, the thing about Pack Rat, the way they set it up, and it was a little different this year. But the artist alley is actually in a different room or rooms than the main store. It's kind of all in the same plaza, like a strip plaza.
Yeah,
and for instance, there was a larger area that the artists were in, kind of catty corner to the actual store in the plaza. It's kind of like a big U shape, and then the artist alley was at the top of the U, and then the store is in kind of the corner of the bottom of the U. That makes sense?
All right, no. I'm trying to think what the top of a U is, like the empty space. Is that...
One of the ends.
Oh, okay.
One of the magnet ends. It looks like a big, giant magnet.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, North or South Pole.
You had a question about him and Scott and I. I don't know if you want, because it kind of sounds weird if I ask.
Scott.
About having
that's why I assume the two of you have very similar influences, because you draw the same style of noses. I have problems with noses. I either draw noses two-dimensional or too large to make them more rounded. I seem to exaggerate them and draw them large. I've always been envious of Justin's noses. And browsing around your website, I noticed that you have a very similar approach to noses, where it's more of a simplistic style. It's like nostril, nostril, tip, and the rest of it's all just kind of alluded to.
I don't really draw nostrils that much, actually.
Well, I mean, kind of the like bottom of the nose portion.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of like the round kind of. Oh yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, kind of bumps on the side and then the kind of round bottom.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I won't even have a line going down from the eyes. I notice that. But then, like, the little kind of, lack of a better term, little scratch marks.
Yeah.
Kind of like, give the illusion of, the curve of the nose kind of bumping.
Maybe it's a burn thing.
Is that the only similar influence the two of you share?
I have no idea. I'm looking at, I don't see because it's me.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it. So you pointed out, I was like, oh, really?
Now that I pointed it out, do you?
No.
You don't think? It's Mike, are you with me?
Actually, looking at Scott's website the other night, I did think that there are certain, and I think it is it's a structure of the face and everything that does have it. I think it's because you guys have that. And it probably does derive from burn, I would say, because it has that clean approach to it. But, like, I don't want to say you guys draw identical, but there are similarities.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. That there are.
Why are you ripping off my style, Scott?
Yeah.
Guy who is drawing
long. I'm older than you.
I think you should get mad at John Byrne personally. Be like, Byrne, why'd you rip me off in the future?
Why are you inspiring so many people?
Another bad Byrne story. I can smack in. Where's my Byrne robotic zombies?
Well, no. After that, I started looking at hands and feet. I mean, you guys do draw things pretty differently, but there are enough similar things. You know, for guys who drew up in different areas and different times, it's interesting to look at it and say, okay, they were clearly inspired by the same person at one point or another.
That is fascinating.
I'm going to go ahead and jump into another question here, Scott, since I have a list in front of me now and everything. what's the longest run of a comic that you've read?
Oh. You know,
you're not allowed to say one of your own comics.
Yeah. Stan Lee, calm down, buddy.
I just kept reading it.
Family Circus doesn't count either. Hate that cartoon.
Oh, well, for this question, since you guys did, like, give them to me, like, early, I went over to Comic Collectors. Have you heard of that program, Collectors.com?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I downloaded that Comic Collector like a month or two ago, and they went crazy. I cataloged all 4,000 something of my comics.
Holy crap.
Into it. Yeah, I think it's 4,228 that I have.
It's pretty serious.
And 500 on my wish list.
Bravo, I'm glad you still aspire. You haven't achieved everything yet, Jack Kirby of comics. But what do you have like the most of then?
Yeah, like Savage Dragon for me is my longest.
Oh, okay. Well, like, they actually have something in the program that you can actually see, like, how many issues you have of something.
Right.
So, here's my top 10 or whatever.
Wow.
Superman came into 180 issues. Woo! Of Superman. 162 of Action Comics. 161 Adventures of Superman.
I see a pattern.
So do I. Well, it's back in the 90s where you had to buy everything in order to follow the story. So, yeah.
That's one month's worth.
The triangle, like, you know,
yep.
Numbers.
It was the shield.
It was the double numbering.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
131 of Batman.
There you go. Okay.
106 of JLA. That's from Grant Morrison and Bill Kelly and Mark Waid.
And you hate Marvel.
Hold on.
103 Detective. 98 of Man of Steel. Of course, that's probably only because they canceled.
Damn, Luis Armisen!
97 of G.I. Joe.
Hey!
Wow. Right.
And then two of my favorites coming up.
Like 80s G.I. Joe?
Oh, yeah.
So you were depressed Larry Hama wasn't there, too, is what you're trying to tell me.
No,
Jim City.
I mean, did you get like really excited every time they announced Larry Hama was there? You know he wasn't.
Really? Oh,
he showed up finally. He owes me money.
I don't know. I mean, maybe just because. I mean, that's cool. I mean, Larry Hama is, you know, an awesome talent and everything. But I guess because I used to work for Hasbro, G.I. Joe, you know, even though it's special, it's just kind of like there. I mean, it's always been there in my life.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, Star Wars, and like, you know, Transformers. I mean, I love those brands. It's just. You know, I've known people that have worked on these properties, so, you know, they're awesome properties.
It's hard to be a fan once you see the wizard.
No, not necessarily, but I mean, I think if Larry had been there, I probably would have brought some of my G.I. Joe comics with me. But, you know, I imagine I'll see him some other time.
I don't think he gets enough credit or enough love. He's influential enough to the geeks. I mean, I don't want to say he's up there with like George Lucas and Stan Lee, but he did shape us all as children and young adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe one of the other things is that he might be coming to a show that I'm going to. And maybe that's why I wasn't as disappointed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, we sorry you interrupted your...
Is he going to Derby or something?
But I think anyway. He might be going to Derby.
Yeah, I think he's going to another show that I'm at.
So what's after G.I. Joe then?
I mean, going back to the inspiration thing, I mean, I have a beard because of Shipwreck.
You look like Shipwreck. I've seen the comparison picture on Facebook.
And now we know.
And now we get
half the battle.
No Joe.
He brought life into those characters. I mean, you know, of course, they're, you know, started off as little toys, and he gave them personalities, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love Dusty and Flint, and I don't know how much of his influence was in Beachhead in the movie. I love that character.
I love Bazooka was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, Bazooka is an awesome one too.
Flint was always my favorite.
I was really thinking about how
I hate
out the language.
Fashion.
Bazooka?
Yeah, the word bazooka. No one used, like, the military doesn't call anything a bazooka anymore.
Yeah, not at all.
It's all RPGs now.
Mm-hmm.
So if that character were to reappear, people would be like, are you named after the
RPG? Album?
Yeah. That's lame.
Here's my dice. I'll kill you with my dice.
You have a 10-sided dice? I have 27-sided dice.
We'll get the gamers reading comics again.
Ew. So G.I. Joe, what's after G.I. Joe?
Well, 87 of Doom Patrol.
Boom.
Oh,
if I put all the Doom Patrols together, I'm sure that it would be more than that. So they might even, like, outnumber Batman. I don't know.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's only Doom Patrol volume 2 or 3, whatever. Grant Morrison and, like, Cooperberg and Pollock were on. So it's like all 87 of those. I know that, you know, I have all the Doom Patrol stuff.
The old Eric Wilson issues?
I've got those. Super. And I've got, I'm behind on the archives of the Bruno Permani and Arnold Drake stuff. I need a couple of those. My birthday's coming up.
We'll take those for you.
How much?
But, you know, I have the Giffen series, I have the Byrne series, and the Arcudi series. I've got all of them.
I love the Arcudi's run on it. How big of a fan were you of the Byrne series? Did you agree with all the changes he made?
You know, in retrospect, I know where he was going. I understand it. Where he was going, he was kind of... I like to think that he was kind of helping set up Infinite Crisis, you know, in a way. But I think because they didn't say, hey, we're going to change everything, we're going to reboot everything, that it didn't really work because it was kind of like, oh, now all of a sudden the Doom Patrol never existed. Hey, here they're in the JLA. Like, they never, like, came about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it made me feel like I missed a miniseries or something.
JLA. Yeah.
Well, but I do like how he, even though I thought the villain wasn't drawn as well, and I saw, like, Byrne's original pencils for the first few issues of JLA, and it looked like Ordway or whoever inked it had changed some of it. Mm-hmm. Definitely didn't look like the same villain. I mean, the villain looked, like, more scary in Byrne's. But anyways, I've always thought of the Doom Patrol as, like, kind of monsters from, like, the old B-movies.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, you got basically Frankenstein with Cliff, and you've got, you know, the 50-foot woman. You've got the Invisible Man almost with the Negative Man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got the Mad Scientist and, you know.
You were reading Monsters vs. Aliens before there was a 3D movie of it. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. And then you got the werewolf, like, basically kind of character, whatever, in Gar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, when they kind of had the tenth circle, mm-hmm. and the lead character's kind of, like, looks like a vampire, and he's got those bat kind of creatures with him, it kind of worked, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that Morrison, like, was more in line with what I loved about Doom Patrol, but I did enjoy, you know, Byrne's artwork on it, of course. It was interesting to see Rita and Cliff, like, you know, have a romance. Unexpected, you know. But
I don't know. I like the tie-in with Generations. It was the episode where they're skipping through alternate universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And they tied it in with his Generations.
Superman, Batman, Generations. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, and it kind of like helped set up Infinite Crisis in a way, and then they kept like rebooting Doom Patrol from there.
Right. Now, is there a Doom Patrol currently in the New 52? They don't have their own series, but have they popped up anywhere?
I've seen Cliff in like My Greatest Adventure, which of course is the title of the first appearance of Doom Patrol, you know, back in the 60s.
Right.
That was the title they first appeared in, My Greatest Adventure number 80 or something.
I don't think there is, because there's a new series that's coming out soon called The Ravagers, and it's almost like a Titans West kind of thing or something, because it's Terra and Beast Boy and things like that. So I doubt
Beast Boy's purple again or something, I think. He's a different color.
I don't even want to talk about the Teen Titans. It's like the most depressing thing on the planet for me right now. So, but
they changed Cliff in like the New 52. He's like flying around. It looks like his metal's from his car, which is kind of a neat concept.
Yeah, because he was a race car driver, right?
Yeah.
That seems odd to me. It's like Jesus coming back and beating people with the cross.
That would be so awesome,
though. But it's like, that's if Kennedy came back, would he carry the bullet with him?
He's
just
spitting bullets out?
Yeah. it's the thing that led to your downfall, and you embrace it as much as possible?
It's
Dracula doesn't wear, like, armor made of stakes, does he?
It works on certain levels. It doesn't work for everybody. I mean,
firemen don't set themselves on fire when they run in the building.
That would be ironic.
I am literally a fireman.
So Scott,
that's what I got from looking through the book. It was impression that what are they called? The nanobots were like fixing him as he was like exploding in millions of pieces, and it looked like they used parts of the car to build that.
His brain in a jar inside of
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't pick up the issues, but I looked through them.
What's that?
And it was pretty obvious that, I mean, the car was like orange and, you know, obviously made of metal. And, he says the nanobots are, like, fixing me, you know, as I'm falling apart or something like that. And you see his brain splatter.
Too much. Because what I liked before was he was Robot Man. He was a Robot Man. He wasn't a cyborg. You know, he wasn't fancy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he's supposed to be miserable. He kind of looks happy in some of the images, but...
He's a pretty depressing character, as I recall. So.
He's the Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the
Frankenstein. I mean, it's a tragic character. Yeah.
I love tragic characters. Those are my favorites.
Was Doom Patrol like the first book first comic you read?
No. Hey, can you guys hold on a second?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
What happens when you visit the most attractive website on the planet? You get Pritchlapped. Pritchlapped.com, the online home of attractive game comic artist Chris Pritchard. It's attractive.
Why, thank you.
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, hey!
How's it going?
Sorry about that. My beautiful wife came home, so I wanted to say hi to her.
You can tell her I said hi as well. You give her my love.
And the call ends now.
Justin was asking you.
She's looking at my headphones.
Never wear headphones, honey.
I never wear headphones.
You're talking to a strange woman from a far distant planet, since you're the controller of the universe and all these
things. If she says hi, can you guys hear her?
Nope, but hello, Beck.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Well, they said hi. She can't hear you.
Wow. Turn up your headphones really loud and hold them out.
No. Hear ourselves again.
Oh, okay. Anyways, Justin was asking you if Doom Patrol was, like, your first comic you ever read.
No, but, I can tell you about the first comics I read.
Okay.
Lay it on us.
The first ones, like, of course, were in the 70s. back when they had spinner racks at 7-Eleven.
That's, I think that they need more of that still to this day, because the fact that you have to go to a specialty shop and you can't pick them up anywhere is probably going to be the ultimate downfall of comics.
I asked for a spinner rack for my birthday.
That'd be awesome.
I would love to have a spinner rack at a convention with me.
They still make them. I send you a website.
Every time I see Mark Wade in an interview,
I've seen him, yeah.
He's always got it sitting in his back room, and I'm like, God, I want that in my house right
90
now.
$90
I don't think he has it anymore.
You know? It has to say, hey, kids, comics.
It has to say what?
Bait Kids Comics.
Bait Kids?
Hate Kids Comics?
Hey,
Kids Comics.
Titans.
Hey. But what were your first couple that you can remember reading?
Super Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a Batman one that actually had a pretty cool cover on it. It was like the Joker Batman strangling the Joker. I don't know. I can send you the cover. It's like pretty cool.
Arrow or something like that, or
yeah, I believe it was either him or Neil Adams, like in the cover. I really can't remember. I believe it was a Paro, but he was on a roller coaster.
It's pretty awesome.
And then a couple of issues of the Flash that I never got the second issues of, so it was like a cliffhanger. And I didn't get the second issues until like about 20 years later.
When you went back, you thought, well, he's clearly dead.
I know, when I was 7, I was pissed because I thought he was going to be dead. But there again, 2 years later, he was still kicking. And then Infinite Crisis, or Crisis on Infinite Earth, I decided we're all sad Barry Allen died.
No, I'm upset. I hate Barry.
Oh, we're not getting on to it.
You didn't bring Wally back.
Hey, this is not the Bruce O. Hughes interview. This is the Scott D.M. Simmons
interview. You had a pause on that. You could have been very interviewing.
Huh?
You bastard.
So I wanted to make sure I hit the name all right, is what I wanted to
do. Okay. Scott, why is it you don't like Marvel Comics?
Oh, hold on. I'm still talking.
Whoa. I will mute you, my friend.
You're talking to the producer slash director slash Hitler of this show.
I'm the only guy with a computer that records.
I do, but you don't want to drive to Akron, so it's not my fault.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Mr. Simmons.
No, that's cool. Yeah, the Flash comics. They didn't. I didn't have the issue where the cliffhanger was resolved. So what was kind of cool was, I guess over the years, I kind of came up with my own endings for them. It's kind of like how Empire Strikes Back kind of like influenced a lot of people, I believe. You know, where like how would they rescue Han and everything?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember coming up with different scenarios where, like, you know, Boba Fett would get, like, you know, attacked by, like, Luke and everybody. But there was an issue of Flash that, you know, just stuck in my mind where basically Ralph, Elongated Man, turned into this character called the Molder, and he was a villain. And he basically pounded Flash with his fist and was able to, like, make him, like, basically into silly putty on the runway of an airport.
Interesting.
So Flash was just a puddle of goo. And I didn't know, like, how he'd get out of that.
How was Ralph able to destabilize his molecules enough to liquefy him?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and, like, you know, look at it. But, you know, it's kind of crazy because, like, when Ralph became, like, the Molder, and then, of course, Identity Crisis came out, I used to think that Ralph was maybe the bad guy. Which I thought might have been kind of cool.
Right.
But, anyways, I mean, so that was, like, one of the crazy, like, kind of scenarios back in the 70s. You know, they had all those crazy things happen to characters. They're like, whoa, how'd they get out of that?
Yeah, I went back a while back and read some old Aquaman comics, and they would just bring in villains or side characters and introduce them as if they'd been there the whole time. They wouldn't bother, you know, having an origin for somebody. It was just like, oh, and there you are, my best friend, who's been here all along, but never in any issue.
It's like where somebody's like, well, you know, there's a character on TV, and they're talking to a family member, and it really serves no purpose. But they'll be like, well, thanks, bro, for calling me. It's like that you needed to know he was talking to his brother. It serves no purpose, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Scott, what we're going to do is we're going to end here and come back, and we're going to get to the really crazy questions. And we'll end with a serious question at the end.
So, how serious? Like, sad?
what future, you know, what's he going to promote? What's he going to promote?
Okay, well, you just ask it. So, not now.
There you go.
We'll be right back.
Who can turn a heart with a smile? Who can take a blank page and make it all seem worthwhile? Simmons can, Scott D and Simmons can, so that you'll always know it. Give his website a little click, and his smile will show it. Not Simmons.com, ScottDMSimmons.com, ScottDMSimmons.com.
Hold on.
All right, we're here for the third part. This is the lightning round. We're going to try to get this through quickly. So, Scott, real quick answers. We're just going to ask them. First off, how long do you think you can last in prison? And we're talking Oz. We're not talking celebrity prison. We're talking hardcore prison.
Shawshank Redemption.
Are you supposed to give it a short answer for this?
1 year, day.
Just give me, give us a number. It doesn't really matter.
How about this quote? You're not. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in with here with me.
Oh, Punisher.
That's what I would say.
No, that's
it's Rorschach.
Rorschach.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Punisher said that once.
Yeah, because he read Watchmen comic.
I read the Punisher comic before I read Watchmen.
Doesn't mean it came out before, though.
Hey, I'm just, that's how I reference it.
I think I read that Franklin, my dear. I don't give a damn. And Daredevil, that's where they must have originated it from.
I'm not arguing where it originated from. I'm arguing where I heard it from.
When are you not smiling / happy?
When I'm on a podcast.
You just made us smile. Does that count?
Oh. Our microphone just fell. It's broken.
Because it's so good.
Oh.
Hey, man, we have a budget of zero.
It does, and it works pretty well.
What is,
I don't know if you should ask your questions right now.
Okay,
now's good.
I have my theory. What does DM stand for? I think it means the man.
I'm going to say
What
do you think?
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Dino hyphen Mike.
Or Dynamutt.
I'm going to go with Darkman. He is the character Darkman.
Darkman's good too.
You're Liam Neeson.
Well, I'm gonna take the Dynamutt one. Because I love the
Dynamite. Song. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Dynamutt,
that's what
he's
I said.
Dynamite.
No, I said both. He chose the Dynamite.
Oh, not
no,
the man.
Mike. Damn it. He chose Mutt. Dynamutt.
Mike got everyone confused.
Bruce, I think you had a Star Wars question, though.
Oh, yeah. Did I?
But do you really want to know what it stands for?
Oh, yeah. We guess we did. It was lightning round. We were just kind of going with whatever, you know. But what does DM stand for?
We prepared to breathe, and that was a good enough answer.
My mom remarried, and I took a second middle name. So the first one's Dantzler, Dantzler. I couldn't get rid of that name because it has a Z in it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You travel is what you're trying to say.
And then McNeil is the other one. So I have basically a way to, you know, my original family and my adopted family. So.
How? If you just play
the what?
If you were to look at your name. Are you back in the background?
What's going on?
That sounds extremely loud in your background right now.
Oh, is there a typing?
No, yeah. It sounds like a refrigerator drying.
No.
Okay, I don't know. I'll go in. All right.
But Star Wars.
Okay.
So,
yeah, you guys are kind of breaking up.
I guess better.
Yeah, it just got better. It's really weird.
Hey, yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you better now, too.
All right.
Oh, good. This is.
If you were running a Xerox machine or something in the background, weren't you?
It's live podcasting. Anything can happen. Anyway, my question was, how difficult was it to get vetted for Star Wars?
Do
you have to wrestle somebody or?
Slave Leia.
You lucky SOB, right? Who wasn't jealous?
Well, you know, the way that started off is kind of interesting and rather unique because I've actually gotten questions, you know, how do you get into Star Wars? I mean, I got in through kind of wouldn't call it a back door, but like more of a side door. I don't know. It's not the usual way.
So you describe it as like a more of a glory hole.
Wow.
Welcome to the break-in.
Yeah. Keep it classy, San Diego.
No, basically I started doing, because of my work with Hasbro.
Yeah.
They knew that I worked for Hasbro, and like my dad and I shot, like, and my mom. Also, when we had the photography studio, we shot the Kenner toys from Empire Strikes Back on and up through the Power of the Force years. Mm-hmm. And then I worked for Hasbro as a photographer. And anyways, the Star Wars Club out in Ohio, the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club, through a friend of mine that was a teacher, kind of got a hold of us, and then we went and did the presentations, and I ended up doing some artwork for the club.
Okay.
Yeah, and then someone from the club, a friend of mine there, managed to take them out, all my artwork samples, and show them to people at Lucasfilm.
Oh, wow, wow.
Yeah, including...
You owe that guy.
I do. And he... Yeah, he's gotten quite a few things from me, but
artwork. We're not going to stop. We're going to stop. Where's his questions? I think.
So, right, who's your favorite Star Wars character to draw?
Oh, well, R2-D2 is my favorite character of all time, but I hate drawing him half the time because he's so complex. But I find myself, you know, I love a lot of the characters. Like, you know, even the Stormtroopers are fun to draw. And the Jawas, but Ahsoka, Padme, and Leia are probably my favorite three to draw, I think. Ahsoka's just got that really cool look to her that's unique. Mm-hmm. And Slave Leia, of course, is just kind of fun. And Padme is, like, one of my all-time favorite characters. And she has so many different outfits you can draw.
Huh.
What are you typing?
I'm sorry?
Are you typing something right now?
That's my wife typing.
Oh.
They can hear you.
Is she on, like, an old typewriter?
She's on her computer up in my studio.
Okay.
In his studio.
It's like two computers. My studio's two computers. I've got a big display case with a whole bunch of DC action figures in it. No Marvel figures.
Space Marvel Hughes?
At the bottom, I've got Rogue. There's a statue of Rogue and a statue of Jasmine from Next Men. Statues of Cthu and Francine from Strangers in Paradise.
Is that just the bust?
Yeah.
No, I just mean the bust. Just their chest.
My wife has the Cthu bust.
That's Cthu and that's Francine. You can clearly tell which one's which.
Yes.
And over here's Jasmine. You can see there's nothing there. Look, there's She-Hulk. I have all kinds of busts of all different comic book women.
So, Scott, why do you hate French fries?
I'm sorry, I'm so loud. I don't hate French fries.
Really hated French fries the night we went out to dinner. I'm just letting you know.
No, I was just smart enough to know that, like, bottomless fries meant I could steal some from everyone else.
And now the truth sets you free, buddy.
I thought he was a great person right up until then.
I know. Now you're just a fry mooch. I see how this works.
They don't want a macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, okay.
Who
doesn't
love fries.
Macaroni and cheese?
With my stolen fries.
But if you were to hate all of the vegetables and you just ate meat, does that make you a vegan? Instead of a vegan, it's like the opposite of it? Or is it a megan? How do you say that?
I'm a meatitarian.
I think it's...
meatitarian.
No, not good. You didn't call herbivores vegetarians. Or that's a vegetarian.
I think we would now.
No, meatitarian.
As archaeologists of the present.
Uh-huh.
You're not even an archaeologist. You're not even a just of anything. I'm just...
I'm a theoretical bullshitter.
Yeah, right. There you go. I like that. That sounds pretty official.
But yeah, I love salad, so I love veggies.
Bruce versus Chris Claremont. Who wins?
What? Like fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah. If Bruce and Chris Claremont were fighting, who's winning?
Oh, jeez. Bruce. And he doesn't even have to lift a hand. All he has to do is shout, Jim City Comic Con!
Jim City Comic Con!
Be like, just ruined Exiles! And throw something at him.
I hated
Me versus Frank Miller.
Frank.
It's okay, yeah, I can do it.
It's
okay.
It's because, you know, he's, I still picture him, like, in kind of the mindset of, like, Dark Knight. Where he's kind of, like, got the inner monologue, and he's crazy, and he's sending the...
Even if Justin said it, he's like, I just felt my rib explode, and then he punches Justin.
They're ready for the fight.
He probably shivved me before the fight began. And then Mike versus Scott Lavelle.
I don't know. I'm going to give it to Mike.
I just got it against him because of Teen Titans right now.
Yeah. From a Generation X?
I don't care about that. He's ruined Teen Titans. Him and Brett Booth have single-handedly ruined Teen Titans.
I can't argue. I haven't read any of it.
I read two issues and
Mike.
I'm done.
I go with Mike.
I'm going to go with Scott Lobdell.
I'm okay with...
I go with Mike.
Thanks! Oh,
really?
Scott DM says...
Scott Lobdell, he beat cancer twice.
I don't even care. I will beat his ass, though.
Wow. If you could be friends with one Saved by the Bell character... Which would it be?
I actually have two answers for that. The first...
this is so, like... Well, you're going to be like, because he's the cool dude, but he's going to get creepy, right?
No, I do have two answers for it. It's so funny. The first one out of my head was, like, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Kelly. But then, when I really thought about it, you know, the King of Queens girl. Leia Marie Remini, or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She was only in, like, a
summer?
Season or something.
Yeah. The summer episode?
Who cares?
I'm not going to deny she was hot, but still.
Was that when they all, like, worked at the hotel?
Yeah,
they worked for, Pumbaa.
What?
Mona Pumbaa.
Yeah.
Mr. something to the T or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. T?
You're going to my beach.
Clobber, what's his Clobber Lang or whatever it is? Clobber Lang from Rocky III? Is that what we're talking about?
What? Who?
Mr. T. He was.
Yeah. Clobber. His character's name.
Anyways.
Oh, sadness.
I know, right? How do you not know that?
I know.
So, which artist do you think should stop producing work altogether right now?
Yeah.
Like, look at it, you go, oh my god, why do you still have work out?
Come on, name names.
I want to know.
No one should stop. We need all the people we can get. Yeah, but people can go back and, you know, they shouldn't be stuck in their rut, you know? And, like, go back and learn new things, you know, and keep advancing their art instead of,
Yeah, Justin. Come on, man.
I want to answer him.
You want a truthful answer after the podcast?
Look at him. He's still, even in a question where he knows there's somebody he could slam down right now, he's still thinking, look, everybody should go back to their work and just try to look at you, still branch, giving the olive branch of peace, but
as he's just, as he's stealing,
as you're fries. Stealing my French fries. I'm
glad he didn't ask. Okay, so speaking of me, when you get someone into giving you their thing drawing, you can that you didn't do anything for them.
No, because Bruce knows I'm evil.
See, I called it.
Hold on. So you're the whore in sheep's clothing. The Bible talks about it. Like, oh, I love everybody. And then he's like really the, you know, he's the killer of the whore.
This is the most biblically referencing we've ever been.
With one?
No. Justin, you know I was encouraging and supporting you with that. And I appreciate you giving me that. You didn't have to, you know? I really thought it was awesome. And I just wanted to keep telling you that, you know? So I really appreciate it.
Is it in the trash?
No, it's not. It's with the silver banshee that you did from the quiz.
You didn't, like, cut off the top and the bottom of the bus, did you? That's the silver banshee.
I pushed it out a little bit more. It's actually the she thing now. But,
I went and pushed my fingers through it. Hold just on. A little.
Didn't Frank Whiteley actually draw the she thing? Isn't that Emma Frost on New X-Men? Never. I went to a cruise.
She thing was Carol Danvers.
Yeah. Oh,
it was a joke.
This is kind of talking about serious stuff.
Get us together, man.
All right.
But anyways, serious note. No, Justin, I do want to draw something for you. I offered you something. You didn't take anything. So let me know.
I had 5 minutes to pick before the show was over.
He only accepts nudes.
No. Trouble now. Okay. Are we on the special question already?
Yes, we're on the special question.
All right. The winner of the... Facebook break-ins question was, which Looney Tunes character would you most like to kick your arse?
Why is he Janosch from Ghostbusters 2 right now?
What was his name?
Janosch!
What was the bad guy's name, though?
Beagle.
Beagle!
Oh, Beagle!
Oh, I give you an alien baby! Beagle!
No, Beagle the Crustacean! Louis, where are you from? The Upper West Side?
One day I meet Ali McBeal. No one remembered me from movie. No, seriously, though.
Which one do I think could or should?
Who do you want to?
Yeah, and it's a big ass reaming. You will get it.
You are allowed to say Bugs Bunny dressed up as a woman.
Yeah.
You will be.
I think Bugs is the most clever of, like, you know, all the pranksters, and, like, you know, he would actually, you know, be the most amusing. But I don't know. I mean, I think I always thought the Roadrunner was pretty cool.
Yeah, because he's capable of beating anyone up.
Yeah, you would beat yourself, basically, is what would happen. Because the Roadrunner, you would try to do something to the Roadrunner, and he would flip it on you.
Yeah,
I'm
smart, yeah.
Coyote style.
That's true.
Did you want to answer any of the other questions, too, that we asked?
No, but, like, you know, there is the kangaroo that Sylvester thought was a mouse.
What was Speedy Gonzalez's cousin, the one who was, like, he didn't run at all. He was really slow, but he carried a gun with him.
Slowpoke?
Slowpoke, yeah, that's
Slowpoke,
right.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Voiced by Cheech Marin. I don't know if that's true or not.
Why?
It's racist.
Why?
He's the only Mexican
They're all
you know.
Voiced by
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks?
Mel Blanc?
Hey, not Mel Brooks, but I'm
Blank.
Mel Blanc, sorry.
Blank.
I'm on all these copies.
Mel.
They're Blank. Kicking in. Did you want to answer any more of the wacky questions?
Yeah, I can answer all of them.
What was the other? I thought we
asked all of them.
You don't remember.
No, I created these.
Justin edited some of them out.
Oh. Okay, so.
So you don't have.
Hold on for a second.
I see which one it is, huh?
Give me a second.
I'm confused.
Don't be confused.
I have to edit this.
Who would win a fight, Frankenberry, Count Chocula, or Booberry?
Count Chocula.
All right.
Now, is that because, like, of the Star Wars miniserials I did that you asked that question?
Yes, actually it was.
Cool. Thanks.
If you were this is the least voted one as zero. If you were a pizza topping, which would you be?
I don't remember that one on there.
No one does, apparently.
Any votes, I don't think.
No votes.
Out of what, the four votes we did get?
We had 13. Superman or Green Lantern? 8 got nothing on me. What do they have on you?
Wow. Green Lantern's got a cool ring. I don't have
to. Right. And last but not least, if you weighed 91% of what you do on Earth, where would you be?
I don't know.
Do you know, Mike?
Mars.
Nope.
No. They can't be the moon.
91%. I'm going to say the negative zone.
Nope. Uranus. That's where you'd be.
You stole that from a child.
Hey, I got to say Uranus on the podcast.
That always so.
Yeah, I say horrible things all the time. Podcast is clearly rated R.
Mm-hmm. It says mature on, or parental advisory on the
explicit.
IDs. Explicit, that's what it says, yeah.
Is that all the questions? Did we get through them all?
Yeah, we're good.
So, last but not least.
Mike had a question that I was waiting to hear.
Do you own any comics that you're embarrassed to say you own?
No, not that one. The comic book person that I'd meet.
Oh, yeah, and this can, and I'm going with, like, they can actually be creators or an active character.
Yeah, I've got, like, answers for each one. Wow. Dead, the dead person, even though I met him briefly, Mike Waringo, again, would be cool to hang out with. You know,
I thought
his artwork was wonderful. He always seemed like a really nice person from all the stuff that I've heard about him.
Yeah. And he was just so, maybe tranquil is the wrong word. It was soothing.
Right.
Like, it was the ideal comic book art, I think.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Like a house art for a lot of books, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see more people ape his style.
I'll if I ever decide to start drawing Grizz, that's what I'm going for. I was thinking I'm gonna go for this rough and rugged look, but I'm gonna go Waringo.
It's beautiful stuff. So your other option, Scott.
So yeah, who's alive then?
Well, I already know Chris, so I guess I've worked over Nicola Scott, like I inked her pencils once, and she seems really, really sweet. And she lives in Australia, and she's come out, like, I think a couple of times to the U.S., but not, like, at conventions I've been at. But I'd really like to meet her one day in person.
Yeah, she's super good friends with Gail Simone. At least they've worked on a lot of stuff together.
Yes.
She's got a good style.
She always seems very pleasant whenever she's been interviewed on other podcasts.
Right. When they were interviewing her with JT Crawl for her Titans run, she just seems like, she seems nervous. Like, she seems like a genuine person. She doesn't seem someone who's, like, really egotistical. Yeah. She's like,
her answers are not practiced.
Right, exactly.
Like Scott.
Yeah, Scott has very practical answers. Because I remember somebody saying, it's like, well, how would you, why do you like to draw a character? She goes, because she's fucking beautiful, duh. Yeah. I'm like, works.
Yeah, I heard her talk about drawing Catman. Shirtless as much as possible before on a podcast.
I get done drawing the pecs and I'm like, whew, all right, there we go.
Now, what about fictional characters?
Well, I mean, I could be easy and say Superman, but like Cliff and Crazy Jane, I thought would be kind of interesting people to be around. I mean, obviously messed up, but kind of cool because, I mean, they're two of my favorite characters. The Fantastic Four would be awesome because they're a family, you know, and they're all cool characters. But Big Barda would also be.
Is she
no reason in particular?
Is she intimidated?
No.
You don't have her, do you?
No. I'm sorry.
I said you don't have her bust though, do you?
No, I do have two of her action figures.
Oh.
The left one.
What?
The bus joke. He said he's two. Anyways, never mind.
Here we go. Oh my.
Potty mouth.
I like you being a boob.
How punny of you, Justin.
I'm trying. Okay, so let's ask a serious question.
Alright. It's gonna get super serious.
Mr. Scott.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your future projects?
Ooh.
What do you wanna promote?
Oh, there's quite a bit. Thanks. Thanks for asking. Well, as you know, our Supermom issue number one just came out. We do have the other three issues coming out within the next year, and the trade paperback will be out before C2E2 next year.
Wow.
How are you going about distribution for that?
Well, that's all up to Scott Bachman, the writer. Yeah, he has different ways that he's going to be doing that. Again, that's all up to him.
Yeah,
but we've been talking about it. It's going to be great. And then my own personal project that I've been wanting to launch for quite a while is Knights of Power. And you know, hopefully I'll be starting the Kickstarter for that soon.
That's it. I've seen you had quite a few sketches of those characters on your site. A lot of different colored things. I'm curious to learn more about them.
Oh, thank you.
Is that it? Really? Everyone else is eating but me, Scott.
No, I'm not eating. I thought you were still going somewhere with this.
Well, I mean, did you look at the guy's website?
I did. I didn't look at the new stuff, though.
Well, you wanted to know how he made the website, too. I know it's not part of that future project.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're done with that.
Okay. That's and what else do you have coming up? Anything else, or...
there's a few other projects in the works, but Yeah, I might be bringing Jenny Everywhere back along with another person that loves Jenny Everywhere. I don't know if you're familiar with Jenny Everywhere. She's an open source character.
Yeah.
But Binge Christensen and I are trying to finish off a story that we started a while back. So that will be exciting.
What do you mean open source? Is that like public domain? Is that okay?
It's a little different. Open source is like when the actual creator comes out and says, hey, anyone can use this.
Oh.
I just created her. You can use her. But so long as you put this paragraph in that says anyone can use her, all rights reverse instead of reserved.
Right. Interesting.
Clever.
Yeah, she's kind of like a dimensional traveler. She goes from one dimension to another. She has a scarf, goggles, and she's got a spunky personality.
I can only think of Tesla Strong for some reason right now. You know what I mean? There's that
goggles and a scarf and
stuff. Yeah. But she had the with the dimensional surfboard or whatever that she, what was it? Tesla Strong?
Yeah.
What was it that she went through all the dimensions?
Surfboard.
It's surfboard, yeah. Nice. That was pretty cool. I like that. That's who created that character though, Scott?
It was Alan Moore.
Not Tesla Strong.
I believe it was Stephen Wintle, and then a couple of other people on the Barbalith community, which was I'm not sure if that community is still around.
Wasn't that probably an Invisibles thing?
What? Barbalith?
Yeah.
I don't know. it was a community that can't help come up with some of the elements of Jenny Everywhere. Okay. They used to have like all her strips on there. When people made stuff.
back to the knights. What type of story do you plan on telling? Is it something long form or like a mini series?
It is pretty long form. Yeah, it's definitely a really personal project to me. It basically spans two decades. It starts off. About 20 years in the past with like kind of a superhero team, kind of like similar to the Super Friends or Avengers, where it's like a bright world where like everything's hopeful.
Okay.
And then over time, like everything kind of goes into kind of more the realm of the Batman comics, where like everything gets dark and demented and people are dying left and right. And then that's when that team disappears and they're called the Journeymen. And they're basically doing a final battle with a sorceress called Valance, and they disappear and killed. And then the last survivor, who's basically the Robin of the team, kind of the kid sidekick, is the only one left.
So what, he decides to start over?
Well, as he's growing up and he's met a girl who's gone through some tragic stuff, and they go around and they eventually meet like all these people inspired by the Journeymen. And so in this darker time, all these people are starting to come together to kind of lead us back into a brighter world.
Are you going to attempt to tell the entire story at once? Are you going to break it down into chapters for each book? Or
there's basically three main books. There's the Knights of Power itself, which is the modern book.
Okay.
Dealing with the five main characters: Tech Enforcer, Sapphire Red, Steel Glove, Jell, and Skyblaze. Skyblaze is the lone survivor of the Journeymen.
Okay.
And Tech Enforcer is basically a mentor to, like, he's not that much older, maybe 7 to 10 years older than, like, most of the other members, but basically he lost his son when he was really young, and he's decided to kind of protect his neighborhood and protect others. He's brought them together, and he's taken two people, Sapphire Red and Steel Glove, who have really tragic pasts, and kind of like helped channel their anger that they used to have into more positive methods of helping other people, which, you know, of course, in their nature, they want to do.
Yeah.
And the Journeyman, of course, is the flashbacks where they talk about the team and like how they met and different adventures they had and how like the main villain came about. Because the main villain comes back in Knights of Power. She's not dead at all, like everyone thought she was. And then Greta is which actually has been published before. The first issue of Greta was published back when I was in college, a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
And that was my black and white comic, and it's kind of just for people that don't know it. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to Batman, but it's kind of that same feel where, you know, it's kind of the more urban, kind of grim and gritty, more real world. And that's when the world in between the Journeyman and Knight's Power, like when it started getting dark, when the Journeyman died and one of their members goes into a coma. And basically what's kind of good about it is, even though it's a dark time, he's the one that actually gets Skyblaze and Jill together.
Okay.
So he kind of, in a way, inspires, you know, even though it's a dark time, he inspires, like, those two to keep going on.
I saw some stuff on your website of, like, Jay Farber characters.
Yeah.
This story puts me in mind of some of Farber's stories he's told. Like the much longer form, like a group of people coming together and type of family thing. Have you spoken to him? I don't know how much interaction you've had with him.
No, I haven't had any interaction
with him. Okay. It seems like something like right up his alley. I'm not saying, oh, you know, you stole this idea, but it just has that type of very optimistic but realistic approach to it. And I clearly it's been successful for him, so I think you put it out there and people eat it up.
Yeah, oh, well, thank you. Yeah, actually, you know, my idea for this book, I mean, these characters have been with me forever. A lot of them since I was a kid. And actually around college time was when I came up with this storyline. And not to really show how old these characters are, but, like, I mean, back when DC, I thought, was kind of falling on its face for a while and not really putting out anything that I was reading, I just decided making my own stories up with those characters. And this was right before the death of Superman, right before all the cool stuff happened with DC.
Yeah.
You know, they must have been like, you know, kind of like saying, oh, okay, we're going to do this really cool stuff. And then, you know, we'll kind of do a status quo for a while. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, not phone it in, but, you know, they just had like some of the stories where things kind of seemed the same every time. But then they did the death of Superman, they did Nightfall, they did all that other stuff.
Do you think they did that on purpose, where they lulled people into a sense of predictability?
It's possible. But, like, but, like, 91, 92 is when I, like, basically came up with the whole backstory and storyline for, like, Knights of Power. But, yeah, so it's really old.
No, I mean, looking at the sketches, and I'm not sure when you do the illustrations and all that.
Oh, the illustrations are modern, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the characters, they look timeless.
Oh, thank you.
You know, like, there's nothing, you can't look at them and say, okay, clearly he was inspired by this decade and this fashion style. They're just timeless, fun characters.
Oh, thank you.
I'm excited. I want you to just get off the Skype with us right now and start working on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you can find a way to get that to Superfly Comics and put it in my poll, I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Way to promote Superfly Comics.
I didn't. Hey, I was at Mavericks this weekend, and that's the first time I've been there in a year, and I still love that place. Superfly is closer for me. What do you want?
I still buy all my comics online through discount
coupons. Because you're antisocial. We understand
that. I hate people.
Scott, did you have any final thoughts or any questions you have for us?
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
Oh, hold on. Let me see what time it is.
Do we need to make a new segment just for...
No, these are fun. These are fun questions.
Oh, okay.
Since you gave me, like, fun questions, I have four for you.
You want to come?
Well, hang on. We should still take a break here.
Take a break. And we're going to come back with Scott's questions. For us.
Hey now, man, over 3,000 people came to the Derby City Comic Con last year, so they're doing it again. Head on down to Louisville, Kentucky, Saturday, June 30th, and get y'all a ticket to see ya. Sean Dove, Tony Moore, Mike Norton, Eric Adams, Sean Forney, Bruce O'Hughes, Nate Lovett, Scott D.M. Simmons, Justin Wasson, and a whole heck of a lot more. All that comic goodness in a buffet-style KFC just two exits away. Find out more at DerbyCityComicCon.com. Damn!
Hey, we're back for the last part. We're going to just wrap up here.
Sure.
It's going to be all wrapped up in a nice
Scott segment, not that this whole podcast is all about Scott.
Scottcast.
Scottcast. I like it.
Scott?
It's still owned by Chris Pritchard, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Pritchard's Scottcast.
The most attractive man meets the happiest man.
What do you get? All kinds of lady love.
What questions do you have for us?
I have four fun questions. I'm going to start with the easiest one, you know, kind of the more general one, and then I'll go to the three crazy ones. I think they're crazy, but... Okay, so this is the easy one. What famous person is at the top of your current to-meet list?
Tom Cruise.
Okay. He runs funny.
That's extremely random to know somebody by, but I guess that works.
He's got tiny legs.
It's the way he swings his arms. Shannon and I laugh every time he comes on screen doing that. You have to watch, you know, pay attention to how he runs. He doesn't do it that bad in Ghost Protocol, but like, but if you watch the other films, he has almost a robotic way of like running. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Justin loves Tom Cruise. He was really disappointed because he had a long period of time where he thought he had gone to see every Tom Cruise movie since
1993.
Since 1993, and then he realized he missed Lions and Lambs.
Lions for Lambs. I don't think it came out of the theater.
No.
I never heard that.
Yeah, apparently no one.
It was Redford, wasn't it? Redford.
Yeah, Robert Redford, yeah.
And you know who else? Andrew Garfield's in it, too. Mr. Spider-Man.
But Robert Redford directed it.
Yeah,
he did.
Redford directed it. I think that was the first IFC movie, wasn't it?
Wait. United Artists movie.
What's Mileage?
United Artists when they took it over. Anyhow, whatever. Right. I missed it. It messed up my run.
For me, and I've been such a huge fan of it for like about the past 5 years, but I would probably say Mike Mignola. We talk about him all the time, but I like his stuff a lot, and I think he's the guy I'd really. And I've met him briefly at Canada 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Okay.
He's very just, I mean, he was just sitting out in the public, you know, and Hellboy 1 and the animated films were getting ready to come out at this point in time, but knowing more about comics than I do now, I'd like to talk to him about a lot of stuff, but he's a really cool guy.
Cool.
Chris? Just anyone at all or, like, anyone in comics?
A famous person, so, yeah, it can be comics or movies, TV, music, whatever. Sports.
I'd like to meet William Shatner.
Oh, cool.
You can call him Bill.
Yeah, you can call him Bill. I'd like to meet him, but at the time, I think I'd be disappointed, maybe. to me, he's a big deal. I'm a huge Star Trek fan.
Patrick Stewart.
I'd like to meet him. I think he's, I don't know, he makes me uncomfortable sometimes.
Is it because he has an intimidating English accent?
No, the behind-the-scenes stuff for him, he just seems a little too... comfortable with everybody. Like, I'm afraid he'd touch me. And that would ruin it.
I would not wash whatever part of my body that would be ever again. But I'm just letting you know.
I could not respect him.
Instantly.
I couldn't respect him if he got all touchy-feely with me. But he gets touchy-feely with everybody.
I know. If he came up and were like, Mike, I would like to have a talk with you. I'd be like, oh my god, let's do this right now.
But if he came up and he was like, I love you, you're a good friend. And
I don't know if I'm comfortable with you right now.
I know, but I'm saying that's why I wouldn't want to be that.
I don't think he would, like, grab you like that.
He did that to William Shatner and he did that to Avery Brooks in
that
one documentary.
But they're famous people that he sees on a regular basis.
The captains, yeah, he touches people behind the ear. And that just,
like, very intimate.
Don't touch me behind, well, didn't that feel awkward?
And
we've known each other for a while.
Loved it.
Whatever. Second question, Scott.
Oh,
it's some wacky stuff, buddy.
I was going to give my answer if that's cool.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. Is it all about you, Scott?
You take your answer.
I'm a big beach volleyball fan. I don't know if you remember the picture behind me. Terry Walsh is the only one that I'm missing a photograph with. Everyone else I met, but besides that, Carrie Underwood would be my on my top of to meet list.
I think. Never mind. I was going to go somewhere totally
different.
Don't go
there.
But yes, I would want to meet Carrie Underwood too. She's she's very talented.
I prefer Kelly Pickler.
Whatever. I don't care. Either one. Sure. Why not?
Patsy Cline.
She doesn't do a lot nowadays.
I'm sorry.
That's sad.
So sorry.
Yeah.
So hey, what other questions you got here for us?
Sure. Number two, who plays you in a movie of your life? For me, it would be Colin Hanks, I guess, because Tom Hanks is too old.
He plays you at the end.
Yeah. There you go. He's the end product. If my end product is Tom Hanks, my life's complete because I like Tom Hanks a lot, so.
Tom Cruise.
No.
The thing is, in that way.
How old that boy is?
But according to everyone else, it's the that one you know, that one nerd guy. He was the cop in that movie, the Scream. David Arquette.
David Arquette.
What's wrong with David Arquette?
I grew up hearing this. You know that nerd guy. You know the one.
Hey, you would have had relations with Courtney Cox for many a year.
Back when she was attractive.
The interesting thing is that they got married on June 12th, and now they're divorced. And I was also June 12th. It's very, very weird.
Ironic.
Yeah.
You guys were set to play each other's lives.
I don't. No. So David Arquette. I guess I have to pick him.
Okay, Mike.
I have no idea.
I suggest LeVar Burton for you.
Roseanne or LeVar Burton?
I have no idea. Ron Perlman, why not? He's 30 years older than me, but who cares? Ron Perlman's badass at whatever he does.
Twice your size.
If I could be Ron Perlman at the end of the movie, I'm pretty happy, though.
I started off like this. Now I'm Ron Perlman. I think it's CGI.
Yeah, exactly. You can get you'll make it work. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Dana
when
Vito?
When I was younger in high school, somebody said because of the way my dark hair and like my facial structure, somebody said I kind of looked like Joaquin Phoenix when I was younger. So, and I'm like,
maybe a little.
I'm like, I don't know. So. I would prefer Joaquin Phoenix with the crazy hair and the beard when he was going to be a rapper.
Yeah.
And Casey Affleck did that documentary about it. I'll take that, too. Why not? Shit. Who cares?
Casey Affleck would be a good one, too.
Yeah, Casey Affleck would be good. Anyways, Bruce?
Gary, see ya.
I'd go with John Larroquette or Zach Galifianakis.
Thank you.
Only from Hangover 2, because we have similar haircuts.
Oh, yeah, you do. I see
that. I see that.
But he's short.
Yes.
I'm not no short.
Oh, you're a pretty tall guy.
They just hired a lot of shorter
actors. Apple Grace. They put him on Apple Grace.
They put him on Apple
Grace. A lot of shorter actors.
Like Michael Duncan Clark in Green Mile.
If I could be Michael Duncan Clark at the end of the movie, too, I'd be...
But you would be
dude,
him
he is intimidating. Hair. That guy scares me.
You'd be him
he could smile at me, and I'd be like, you're going to eat me now, aren't you?
It's the family. Just yeah. Felt different.
He was awesome in Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love him.
What other Michael Bay film? What else you got?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. If you were in a one-man stage play, what would be its title?
Oh, my God.
Just In, Just Out.
You know what? You've been milking that thing for so long. How long can you keep using those just whatever things?
Just infinitely?
Just infinitely?
Just in, is that really what you call it then? Just in, just out? Because that's clever. I do like that, actually.
I have a Scotterbrain.
Scotterbrain.
Ooh, that's nice.
No, look who's using their name.
He did his cleverly. You just keep using that.
Just this, just that.
Yeah, just this, just that thing.
I never do just this, just that. I do just.
You don't do any. You don't do. It doesn't do justice for
I
you.
I put my name
say.
Just another title.
What, Mike? I don't know.
Michael. The story
is that of life of a diabetic? I don't know.
What was that podcast? The Diabetic Queen? Is that
what?
In the one podcast you talked about going to the diabetic
camp. Oh, yeah.
To the fair.
How diabetic camp changed my life. Mike had a story.
Brought to you by Snickers.
Yeah, brought to you. New sugar-free Snickers. Go and get them. Because Wilmer Brimley will beat you, too.
I had too much oatmeal.
Diabetes.
Hey, I gotta tell you something real quick, though, Scott.
Yeah.
Andy Kurt Russell, by the way.
Cool.
Did you ever see the movie The Thing?
Yeah.
He punches Wilford Brimley in the face, and I've
I was wondering where you were going. I'm like, yeah, is he like, diabetic too?
Is he gonna play you in the movie?
Kurt Russell, he never saw it. And if I get to punch Wilford Brimley in the mouth.
But you start out as a child, you're played by Wilford Brimley.
You're like Merv from Mork and Mindy.
No, it's sort of as the old guy, yeah, D.A. Jack.
It's motion capture, it's Wilford Brimley. Doing the movement.
Here we are on the break line.
Why are you doing Foghorn later?
Actually, I think I was doing a little bit more Morgan Freeman. I didn't do well in the podcast.
It was Swing Blade Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Really. Wilford Brimley is the white Morgan Freeman, is what we're trying to say. Just slightly fatter and more diabetic.
I'm so glad you let us talk.
We'll never grow old.
Yeah, exactly. So, Bruce, what's your one man stage play?
Stage play. Woo! I don't know.
This podcast got interesting again.
What are you trying to think about, Scott's?
Nothing.
That is your.
I know, I'm big, right?
Damn, I don't.
The pigeon farm.
The pigeon? Alright. Is there an explanation behind that at all? No? Just something completely abstract.
Yep.
I think Grant Morrison shared some drugs with you, and you guys came up with this idea. Right?
What do you think
that
is your
new studio name?
Yeah, the pigeon. Yeah. Or, here, the novel I never finished writing, Satellite Motive.
Satellite Motive? I like that.
That's, I had a dictionary and looked at some pages. That's what I was, that motive.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, speaking of Pigeon, that's one of my favorite singers, actually. Rebecca Pigeon. And she's,
I was like, where is this going?
No, she's an actress on stage, like David Mamet, so it's pretty cool. It's kind of funny.
The Heist?
Yeah, she was great in The Heist.
Yeah.
State in Maine and Spanish Prisoner. Those are some of my favorite movies. Okay, yeah. Hey, you guys are sort of breaking up on me right now. But here's the big question related back to comics. Okay?
Yep.
Ready.
What canceled TV series would you like to see or make into a comic book?
Sliders.
Oh, that's a great choice.
I was remembering my way to bring it back into the comic book world this afternoon, actually.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So here's what you do. You got J.R. O'Connor, right? And if anyone does the movie, he got killed off.
Well, no, he didn't get killed off. He got absorbed by another twin.
Whatever.
Yeah, but then there was like the alternate reality of him.
Yeah, so it was the twin who had multiple sclerosis.
I thought about this one. There is alternate, many, many, many alternate worlds. Okay, so there's probably an alternate Quinn that had almost the exact same adventures, but one. Then it gets zapped away. And then what happens is, can't remember the guy's name. Who's the crime man? Crime man, yeah. When he, in the very last episode,
he's the one that jumps through the portal.
He jumps through the portal.
Try to go back home.
And then he's welcomed by this new alternate Quinn.
Quinn
Mallory, which actually did survive the, and then it flash forwards a couple years, and now they have the playground. Which is where you can slide in and out of any kind of world.
That's nice. That's clever. What about the girl who couldn't breathe the air in Quinn Mallory's Earth Prime?
Is this
She was there with him at the end. I can't remember her name. Yeah. What's his name?
Can't remember her name either. She's the one that replaced the girl from
Sports Night.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I can't hear her name,
because she was in a Hellraiser movie. Hellraiser,
She's a horrible actress.
Yeah.
And her character in Sliders is probably the least interesting character.
And you could kill her off.
Well,
Problem solved.
She started out, she was like very, very militant and very...
Because she was with, what's the name, from The Who?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that show. So Roger, I would definitely... That's the show I would bring back. Sliders.
Cool. I mean, it kind of wrapped up the way they wanted it to, and I haven't watched the last season, but I love Chuck. I thought that was a great show, and I haven't watched it for a while, but I would like to see that continue on. But probably Heroes. I mean, I loved Heroes so much, and I thought it had gotten better towards the end, even though it had that rough middle part.
Yeah.
But, and I think kind of the way you go that, because if you remember the last episode, she jumps off, and it's called A Brave New World. I think you have her gut. And... I mean, I know she's like one of the main characters. I can't think of her name right.
Claire.
Huh?
Claire.
Claire, yeah. I think because she's out to prove a point that, you know, that she's revealing herself to the world. That would be a kind of a smack in the face that you wouldn't see coming, is if that character actually died who couldn't die.
I did not watch any of the third season.
It was fourth.
Four.
Fourth. Whoa. Hell.
I can see would have been better had it, the writer's strike totally killed the momentum. It was going to get crazy.
I think everything good about that show can be accredited to Brian Fuller.
Who?
Brian Fuller.
Was he like the writer on the first season or something? Or?
He wasn't the head writer, but he wrote a majority of the episodes of the first season.
Jeff Loeb.
He created Bennett.
Oh, okay. Jeff Loeb had a big part, unfortunately, bringing that.
Don't like Jeff Loeb.
I know. Him and Chris Claremont, right up there, right?
Yeah.
Maybe anybody, who's your trifecta? Who's the ultimate evil trifecta in comics?
No, it's me. I just had
the. Oh, I thought you were telling me something.
No, I
wrong.
Just like.
another writer I don't care much
about. Well, you got Jeff Loeb, Chris Claremont. Who's your three kings of hell in comics?
Frank Thierry.
Huh?
Frank Thierry.
Oh, okay.
Talentless Hacks.
Talents? I said, gosh.
What?
What show would you want them to finish?
I would say Farscape, but it did come back as a comic and then get canceled. So I'll go with Barney Miller. I'm gonna go with Barney Miller. I'd like to see one of the Star Trek TV shows continue, but like actual like in canon.
Enterprise is what I would do if I did Star Trek because they have a whole time period.
Trips day.
I like Deep Space Nine. That was my favorite one.
Really good. I would like to see that. Where Sisko is one of the wormhole gods now.
Huh. I haven't seen it.
I mean, that's essentially how it ended. In the first episode, when who's contemplating suicide, in the final episode, he becomes one of the gods. That's the greatest story ever in Star Trek, in my opinion.
I don't know. I don't watch it now. Thanks a lot.
Which, you've only had, what, 16 years to watch it?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Darth Vader. Heads up.
Go, person! All right, Scott, how about you?
Oh, well, mine doesn't really fit into the same kind of genre as you guys had. Mine would be the Unit, which is the David Mamet series about the soldiers, the special unit. I just thought that was a fantastic show. It was always well-written, and then when they ended it, I was just like, oh, that's it?
I didn't watch it religiously by any means, but if it was one of those shows that was on, I would find myself very hard, very pressed to change the channel. Like, it was like, I didn't want to, you know what I mean? It was a good show.
Well, see, now Scott's got me thinking more like shows that were canceled rather than shows that just ended open. And I'm thinking like Terriers, Deadwood, what are some, Carnival.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those are shows that we didn't get endings.
Highway to After the Fall.
Highway to Heaven.
Boston Public.
And, yeah,
Boston Public. I love Boston. I had Grind.
Annie Fox Show.
Yeah.
Annie Fox Show. Firefly. I mean, it's still kind of got a comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that gets enough comics, I think. They just
need it does.
To man up and make it a monthly comic.
Well, I know. They should. There's enough fans that you could easily have it, yeah.
Well, when Farscape, the comic, first came out, I would buy 4 copies. And then my wife would resell 3 of them to her friends at work. People who liked the TV show, but were afraid to go into comic book shops.
I can understand that. It's an intimidating place to go through.
It is.
And there's a smell sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, you know, you have these women in their 30s and 40s. Do they really want to venture into a comic book shop for the first time and ask for Farscape?
Nope.
Dude, the guys at Mavericks would laugh at them. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same thing for people who are fans of Buffy and Angel. They would be interested in seeing these stories continue, but they'd probably wait until they're in trades or something where they could look out and...
So basically, the gist of everything we're saying is if Joss Whedon has touched a TV show, it probably should become a comic again.
Jericho became a comic.
Right? I know. It did. It had a huge cult following. Yeah.
He was in.
What? Yeah, why not?
She also
Joss Whedon wrote it.
Sure.
Alien 3. Wasn't that him?
No.
4? Alien 4?
Alien 4. And Waterworld.
Did he write
it? He worked on Waterworld. He did some script rewrites.
Was his name Joss back then, or was it Josh?
No, it's still Josh.
Okay.
What else do you have for us, Scott?
That would be it with the questions that I had.
And that was fun.
Thanks.
I just like to say.
I had fun with your questions too. Thank you.
Thank you.
We still are not allowed to talk about the Avengers, does Mike?
We can't.
Oh, but Hawkeye is cool.
Out of here soon. I'm sorry. I don't go to make movies on opening weekend.
Could have went with me.
I didn't
get a phone call.
I didn't know that you were holding out for.
Don't take him. He uses soap.
Seriously, you're that guy?
What?
Serenity!
Okay. No, so, that's not even true. That's not even true. My phone was on vibrate, and he could see the light shining through my khaki pants. That's what this is all about.
I spoke to him once during a movie I got you into for
2012.
Free. Yeah. And he was pissed. I can't believe you talked to me.
I can't believe
he does.
I got you you and your mom into that for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we are, 2012, still podcasting.
Yeah. He's still mad at me.
I shut up because I had a really bad joke to follow that. So
yes,
yeah,
sure.
We're going
to
just stop right now.
Okay, we're going to sign off. We're at our four-hour limit. not even NASCAR fans have kept up with us at this point.
Well, if I know anything about NASCAR fans, they slept in the middle and then they just woke up and see who won the race. That's all that happened.
Caution.
I know how NASCAR fans work.
So,
I want to. We want to thank you for joining us on this on the very special episode of The Break.
And your lovely one.
Music.
Thank you so much.
Your wife for setting a nice beat for us in the background.
First code. Somebody stop them from talking.
So, where are you going to be at next, and how can we find you online?
Save My Scott. What?
Save SMS?
SLS, Save Our Scott.
Save Our Scott, okay.
So, Scott, where will you be at next, and where can we find you? Mm-hmm. Online.
The next show I'll be at is Summit City, which is this coming weekend, so I'm not sure you'll have the show up in time. But then after that, it's Derby City, Comic-Con, and then Cincinnati Comic Expo.
We will see you at Derby.
Yes.
And where can we find your information about other things?
ScottDMSimmons.com. So ScottDMSimmons.com.
Scott, I'm going to just say I'm sorry in advance, and when you listen to the podcast, you'll know why. Because I promote your website. Just don't blame me, okay? I just act, man. I do what the directors tell me.
We make commercials. If he's listened to the podcast,
yeah.
Okay.
Another project.
Well, thank you.
No problem.
Justin,
Bruce.
Where will you be and what will you be doing?
Oh, where I'm at? Oh, I guess I'm doing nothing. I'm actually nothing right now.
I thought you and the Boy Wonder over here were cranking out some more time travel stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone hasn't watched Godfather. They haven't done their homework.
I'm sorry,
they ever do
is
watch
two
movies. Two movies.
Hey,
two movies.
Just find, like, the audiobook of it.
And I got news for you, Mike. Opening weekend for those two movies has been over for a while.
What was the other movie?
Godfather 1 and 2, that's it. That's all I have to watch.
What does that have to do with time travel?
It doesn't. It has to do with story structure. That's what I want.
Okay, whatever. Just
audiobook
it or something, man.
Anyways.
You'll suffer through. So that's what you're currently working on.
Yeah, and then...
You will be with me.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
In Louisville.
Derby.
For Derby.
That's right.
Okay. And you still have JustinWatson.com?
Mm-hmm.
Updated.
Every 3 years.
Like, take that, All-Star Batman and Robin.
You know, you point your URL at your Facebook. What do you mean? You're paying for this.
I don't want to talk about it. That was on the last podcast.
Anyways.
Mike?
I'll be at Target every day.
Well, you're potentially going to be in Derby City, right?
Yeah, I'll hopefully be able to make it down to Derby, and hopefully you and I will. I'll get a backup in yours. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, and any for future issue, I'll do your.
Any what?
Future issues for you.
Future issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
The covers.
Back covers.
Well, I'm excited. Derby City Comic Con is on my birthday weekend. My birthday is the 28th, and the show is on the 30th.
Are you still telling us that you want those Doom Patrol archives? Is that what you're going for here?
Yeah. No, but my wife will be down there with me.
So. Oh, cool. All right. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So she may not be at the show very long, but hopefully she'll stop by.
Oh, chicks, all right, yeah.
And maybe we can buy you some fries after the show or something.
And she'll just steal from
us. Yeah, he'll just take them from us. So I at BruceOHughes.com, probably where you listen to this. It's my website, and I'm working on my Western and some more horror cover stuff.
Cool.
Always busy. Always dying slowly. And I think that's it for this month. We're going to do... Hopefully I can have this up and edited maybe by Sunday or Monday. And
okay.
We're going to have another one of these recorded by the end of the month for Derby with Eric Bannister. We'll see everyone on the internet.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ken. Bye. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Have a good night.
Here. Bye.